Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Feed us with hunger for justice. Feed us with thirst for peace. Feed us with hunger for justice. Feed us with thirst for peace. Aaron knows that one. Wednesday morning, I stood with a group of ELCA pastors, deacons, and lay people in Upper Senate Park in Washington, D.C., singing this song. We were there to make public witness and call for justice on behalf of vulnerable people in our nation as part of a two-day advocacy training and action event called Gathering at the Gate. I was blessed to be there, and especially to carry with me the support and care of this congregation. And I told so many people during the time I was there about the support that I had received from you all. The gathering was an incredible experience for me. We worshiped and sang and prayed for justice in the world. The witness of the community and the hope that we shared in our faith was inspiring. The whole staff of the ELCA Advocacy Office was there, and this is the staff of the Advocacy Office. They offered training and encouragement for us. They reminded us that in an environment where most lobbyists come asking favors for themselves, our witness of faith in asking on behalf of others makes a difference. As people of faith, we bring the conviction that all people are created in the image of God and deserve basic human dignity and human rights. All people are beloved of God. Amy Ruman, who is the director of the ELCA Advocacy Office, shared their tag: all people to do justice. They brought us these little pink bracelets to wear that say that line on it so we'd remember. And as she spoke, she came back again and again. The God who justifies expects all people to what? Do justice. On Wednesday, I visited with staff in the offices of both of our New Mexico senators. I delivered the letters that you had written on paper plates, empty plates, symbolizing the many Americans whose plates will be empty due to cuts in SNAP benefits. Katie Mertens in the office of Senator Ben Ray Lujan was so glad to hear voices of faith raising concerns of justice and care. And she asked to be connected with our ELCA Advocacy Office for future partnerships. Aria Campos in the office of Senator Martin Heinrich shared that the senator sees a real crisis coming for New Mexico as federal funds for food assistance and Medicaid are cut. She was particularly moved by the witness of the empty plates, a tangible sign of the faith and support of all of you. The gathering was also challenging, as it brought our full attention to the suffering caused by the current decisions being made with regard not only to planned budget cuts, but also to ICE detention and attacks on the LGBTQIA+ community. Oh, and I wanted to point out in the picture at Senator Lujan's office the rainbow flag that he hangs outside his office, and that was true for both of our senators and also Representative Stansbury. When we gathered in public witness in Upper Senate Park on Wednesday morning, we sang and prayed and lifted our voices in lament and demand for justice. We gathered around an empty tablecloth and waved our empty plates to remember those who are and will be hungry. We gathered around an empty first aid kit to remember those who are and will be denied basic health care. We gathered around an empty chair to remember all who have been disappeared, detained, or whose very existence is trying to be erased. The bishop of the D.C. Area Synod was there, and he read an open letter to Congress. I have a few copies of the whole thing, it's kind of long, available in the fellowship hall, but I'm going to read parts of it. We are a group of pastors, bishops, deacons, and lay leaders from the Lutheran churches around the United States. We are here because we love our country and are concerned that recent decisions made here are hurting people in our communities, especially those who are most vulnerable because they are poor, because they are migrants, or because of who they love or how they identify. We are here in obedience to the commandment that resonates across religious traditions and secular ethics alike: love your neighbor as yourself. And in our own Christian tradition, Jesus added, in case there was any doubt about who we are meant to love, love your enemies. No one is excluded from our responsibility for care and concern. We are outraged and grieved that our country's resources, the money from our pockets collected in the form of taxes, are being used to pay for more weapons of war, more masked and unidentified law enforcement on our streets, and huge detention centers, while greater and greater numbers of people go hungry and perish of preventable, treatable illness because they cannot pay for care. Our Christian faith compels us to see every human being as Jesus sees them, as a child of God worthy of love, care, food, life, dignity, and health, simply because they, like us, belong to God. We are here to remind us all of the humanity of every child of God. We call on our representatives, leaders, and public servants to resist using cruel rhetoric and policies and practices that dehumanize people. This morning, we read just a small part of the story of Jacob, and a small part that jumps around a little bit. It's a story about a younger twin who steals his brother's birthright from their father Isaac, and then he has to flee from home. Jacob has to run away from the anger of his brother after the wrong that he has done him. It's easy to imagine that for Jacob at that time, God seemed far away. Maybe he was wondering if God, the God of his father and his grandfather Abraham, would go along with him. And Jacob lay down to sleep and had a dream, the sort of dream that is a vision from God and a gift of grace. He saw a ladder connecting heaven and earth and angels moving up and down the ladder. He heard from God the promises that God would always be with him and would continue the promise of Abraham through him. When he wakes up, Jacob declares, "Surely God is here, and I didn't know it." Jacob's vision of God's realm come near to his own life gives him a new awareness of the presence of God, even in the midst of his troubled circumstances. This is the same Jacob who, after many years away, after he marries the sisters Leah and Rachel, will return home. Anxious about his reunion with his brother, Jacob will wrestle with an angel and receive a blessing and a new name. He will become Israel, and his 12 sons, the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. Again and again, across the generations, descendants of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, Leah, and Rachel will know the presence of God is with them in their hardships. The gathering at the gate brought many of us to a place that is troubled and discouraged, where polarization rules and hateful rhetoric is being normalized. Yet we too could say God is here with us in this troubled place. During our prayer and song and in powerful sermons that we heard, but also when we walked the halls of congressional buildings and engaged in challenging conversations with congressional staff. And many of the people gathered there were engaging in conversations that were more difficult, asking for those cuts. For me, it was very easy to go and say thank you to our senators. As we stood in the park on Wednesday and sang for justice and peace, I felt that presence of God, like a ladder between heaven and earth, and the angels there with us to give us steadfast courage and hope. I have worked for almost 20 years with Lutheran Advocacy Ministry New Mexico, and I've experienced for myself what the former director, Ruth Hoffman, used to say, that doing the work of advocacy is a lot like tending redwoods. It is slow, and it requires patience. On Tuesday morning, before the gathering started, I visited the National Arboretum. And there I saw a bonsai tree, right here, that is 400 years old. It is called the Peace Tree, and it has an amazing history. The tree was cared for by a single family in Japan, generation after generation, beginning in 1625. In 1945, this tree was just 2 miles from the epicenter of the atomic bomb strike in Hiroshima. Yet it survived, as did the family who cared for it. In 1976, this tree was given as a gift by that family to the United States for our bicentennial celebration. A sign of reconciliation and peace. A sign of what lasts through the centuries. I gazed at the tree, and I felt like God was reminding me that we are in God's hands, that history is larger than the painful now, and that gestures of hope have great power. The gathering at the gate was a moment of protest, of accompaniment, of learning, a reminder of God who is with us now, and an expression of hope for a future that we know God holds. Thanks be to God. Amen.